In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the Mount of Transfiguration, the cloud overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have come to Transfiguration Sunday, the culmination of the Epiphany season. And if ever there is a time to listen not to the word of man, but to the word of Jesus, it's today. Because God the Father tells us to listen to his Son, Jesus. Epiphany is all about Jesus' light for all the nations. It began with the Epiphany star, which guided the Magi to the Christ child as they brought their gifts for Jesus the prophet, priest, and king. It continued with Jesus being baptized as the second Adam in our place to fulfill all righteousness. And the Father's voice came from heaven, and the dove came upon him. "This is my Son, in him I am well pleased." It continues with the glory of Jesus' first miracle at Cana, changing the water into wine, revealing his glory as the heavenly bridegroom. And today, the culmination of Epiphany, Jesus as true God, showing through his humanity as true man his glory, giving us a glimpse of who he really is. We are called to listen to him. So I ask you to ask yourself, to whom have I been listening lately? The word of man or the word of God through Jesus? God the Father's voice on the high mountain says about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Let's first look at how Moses and Elijah, the Old Testament, listened to him. How Peter, James, and John listened to him, the New Testament apostles. And then how we listen to Jesus. In the Old Testament, we know about Moses and Elijah, who hear, listen to Jesus. Moses, of course, was the one through whom God gave the law on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. Recall that when Moses would talk to God face to face in the Ark of the in the tabernacle before the Ark of the Covenant, his face would shine. He would put a veil over his face because of the brightness, but eventually it would fade away. Moses, who was not allowed to enter into the Promised Land, was taken into heaven, and his body was buried by God at Mount Nebo. And now this Moses, the representation of the law, is standing there with Jesus on the high mountain. Then there's Elijah, who represents the prophets. As the Lord lives, Elijah and Elisha, who were walking along one day, knew the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven. You remember Elijah, he was on a different mountain, Mount Carmel, where he would destroy the prophets of Baal, and where God would accept his offering, the fire would come down from heaven and lick up the offering and even the water around the altar. This Elijah, walking along with Elisha, sees the chariots and horses of fire and the whirlwind that took him up to heaven. And now it is that Elijah who stands for the prophets who was also speaking to Jesus on the high mountain. And what is Jesus talking to them about? The law and the prophets, represented by Moses and Elijah, are talking to Jesus about his impending exodus. The Israelites made the exodus out of Egypt. Jesus is about to make his exodus from this earth through his suffering, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven as our intercessor. Moses and Elijah knew all about these coming events. And Jesus is speaking to them about those events of our salvation. And Jesus, who was transfigured before them on the mountain, the word is metamorphosis. On this high mountain, possibly Mount Hermon or one of the mountains up by Caesarea Philippi, his deity will now shine through his humanity. His clothes become radiant, intensely white, beyond any bleach that could bleach clothing. The other Gospels say his face was shining like the sun. His garments were flashing like lightning. Here we see who Jesus really is. He shares our flesh and blood, but he is the Son of God in eternity, who shares the glory of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Moses and Elijah, and we get a glimpse of who Jesus really is. True God and true man in one person. The Old Testament is there with Moses and Elijah, and the New Testament is there with the apostles, Peter, James, and John. After 6 days, he took with him Peter, James, and John. They were three of the 12 apostles. James would end up being martyred and killed by Herod with the sword. John would write the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. Peter, his associate was John Mark, who wrote this Gospel. In many ways, the Gospel of Mark is the Gospel of Peter. And he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, the epistles. These three men who were there on the mountain represent the New Testament church, also observing Christ, the fulfillment of all the promises of God in the Old Testament. The reason why Peter wants to build tents for them was that the Jews set up tents or booths in the wilderness, the Feast of the Booths, to remind them how they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and God watched over them. Peter doesn't know what he's saying because they are terrified. They fall on their faces in fear before him because they see the shining glory of Jesus, and they are unholy men before the holy God. The cloud that overshadowed them is called the Shekinah in the Old Testament, God's holy presence. When Moses would go to speak to God in the tabernacle, the cloud of his presence, the bright cloud, would come down upon it. And that bright cloud now comes over this mountain. God the Father is there, speaking through that bright cloud. The voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The Father gave his words to the Son. The Holy Spirit took the words of the Son and gave them to the apostles to write down in the New Testament, which you are hearing today being read and preached, which came to you in holy baptism, in absolution and holy communion. The word of Christ has come to you. You just confessed in the Nicene Creed that you believe he is very God of very God, light along with the Father. You come here on Sunday not to listen to the words of men. The world is filled with that. You come here to listen to the word of God through his Son, Jesus. Moses and Elijah listened to him. Peter, James, and John listened to him. We also listen to him today. Suddenly, they looked up and the cloud was gone. Moses was gone. Elijah was gone. They saw Jesus only, alone. This is significant. He is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. They see him only. And we also see him only as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our friend, as our sacrifice, as our intercessor, as the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God, as the High Priest and the sacrifice at the same time. We see Jesus only. You don't come to church to hear what I have to say or what you have to say. You come here to hear the words of Jesus. As they come down the mountain, he commanded them to tell no one they'd seen this event until the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. And they heeded Jesus' word. The Son of Man would die and be crucified in our place. And he would be raised from the dead for our justification. After Jesus' glorious resurrection and ascension, they did bear witness to this. John, in John chapter 1, said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace. No one has ever seen God. The only God who was at the Father's side, that is Jesus, He has made Him known." John records in John chapter 17 the words of Jesus, "Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed, that they have believed that you sent me." And Jesus continues in John 17, "Father, I want them to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." And St. Peter is even more overt in 2 Peter chapter 1, speaking about today's events of the Transfiguration. He says, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And finally, John, in his first epistle, writes, "This life was manifest, and we've seen it, and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested to us, which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And so they bear witness that in this Jesus, who is our substitute, Jesus who actively kept the law perfectly for us and passively obeyed, allowing them to bind Him and take Him to the cross to pay the ransom we needed to pay, but He paid with His precious blood. Propitiation, forgiveness before the mercy seat of God. He did this in our place. That is why we are justified and declared righteous by God by grace through faith. The righteousness of Jesus, when we believe in Him, is credited to our account. That is the glory of Jesus for us. We listen to this gospel. Think of how the mercy of God has come to you. What would your life be without God's mercy? You know God's word, the truth. You know what truth is. You have the light of the gospel. You do not live in darkness. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God, has been proclaimed to you. We don't proclaim ourselves, Paul said, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And that beautiful phrase which summarizes Transfiguration, you know the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. In conclusion, Jesus transfigured in glory in dazzling white is not just putting a show on, no. He's showing us that the one who would be crucified, raised, and ascend to the right hand of God can atone for our sins because He is the Son of God in human flesh. He came to die so that we die to sin and can live in Him. So Paul said in the epistle, "Don't lose heart. In this world, what do we see? All around us this week and week after week, we see that which is disgraceful, cunning, underhanded ways, people that tamper with the Word of God and throw it aside. Unbelieving hearts are veiled. Those who are perishing, the God of this world, the devil, has blinded their minds. They can't see Jesus' glory because they will not believe. But you are called to listen to Jesus alone. Put aside the word of man, which is but darkness, and cling to and listen to every day the word of God. Read the word of God every day and pray to him in true faith, so you have the light of life in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we have come to Transfiguration, the glory of the mountain, and we come to the Lord's table to receive his body and blood under the bread and wine. Just as Jesus came down the Mount of Transfiguration and went to his suffering, we will come down the mountain of Transfiguration on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday, during the 40 penitential days of Lent, with ashes upon our heads, come with repentance before our Lord Jesus Christ, until we celebrate again the Alleluias during Easter. So this week, determine that you will not listen to the word of man. Listen to the word of God through Jesus Christ. God grant this will be a reality in our lives to the glory of his name. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. (Clears throat)